This is Pastor Eli James with Protocol Number 3, entitled Methods of Conquest. Descriptive heading: The Symbolic Snake and Its Significance, The Instability of the Constitutional Scales, Terror in the Palaces, Power and Ambition, Parliament's Talkeries, Pamphlets, Abuse of Power, Economic Slavery, People's Rights, Monopolist System and the Aristocracy, The Army of Mason Jewry, Decrescence of the Goyim, Hunger and Rights of Capital, The Mob and the Coronation of the Sovereign Lord of All the World, The Fundamental Precept of the Program of the Future of Masonic National Schools, The Secret of the Science of the Structure of Society, Universal Economic Crisis, Security of Ours, i.e. Our People, the Jews, The Despotism of Masonry, The Kingdom of Reason, Loss of the Guide, Masonry and the Great French Revolution, The King Despot of the Blood of Zion, Causes of the Invisibility of Masonry, Part Played by Secret Masonic Agents, and finally, Freedom. The text begins, Today I may tell you that our goal is now only a few steps off. There remains a small space to cross, and the whole long path we have trodden is ready now to close its cycle of the symbolic snake, by which we symbolize our people. When this ring closes, all the states of Europe will be locked in its coil as in a powerful vice. The constitution scales of these days will shortly break down, for we have established them with a certain lack of accurate balance in order that they may oscillate incessantly until they wear through the pivot on which they turn. The Goyim are under the impression that they have welded them sufficiently strong, and they have all along kept on expecting the scales would come into equilibrium. But the pivots, the kings on their thrones, are hemmed in by their representatives who play the fool, distraught with their own uncontrolled and irresponsible power. This power they owe to the terror which has been breathed into the palaces, as they have no means of getting at their people, into their very midst. The kings on their thrones are no longer able to come to terms with them, and so strengthen themselves against seekers after power. We have made a gulf between the far-seeing sovereign power and the blind force of the people, so that both have lost all meaning, for like the blind man and his stick, both are powerless apart. In order to incite seekers after power to a misuse of power, we have set all forces in opposition one to another, breaking up their liberal tendencies towards independence. To this end, we have stirred up every form of enterprise, we have armed all parties, we have set up authority as a target for every ambition. Of states, we have made gladiatorial arenas where a host of confused issues contend. A little more, and disorders and bankruptcy will be universal. Babblers inexhaustible have turned into oratorical contests of the sittings of parliament and administrative boards. Bold journalists and unscrupulous pamphleteers daily fall upon executive officials. Abuses of power will put the final touch in preparing all institutions for their overthrow, and everything will fly skyward under the blows of the maddened mob. All people are chained down to heavy toil by poverty more firmly than ever. They were chained by slavery and serfdom. From these, one way and another, they might free themselves. These could be settled with, but from want they will never get away. We have included in the Constitution such rights as to the masses appear fictitious and not actual rights. All these so-called people's rights can exist only in idea, an idea which can never be realized in practical life. What is it to the proletariat laborer, bowed double over his heavy toil, crushed by his lot in life, if talkers get the right to babble, if journalists get the right to scribble any nonsense side by side with good stuff, once the proletariat has no other profit out of the Constitution save only those pitiful crumbs which we fling them from our table in return for their voting in favor of what we dictate, in favor of the men we place in power, the servants of our agentur. Republican rights for a poor man are no more than a bitter piece of irony, for the necessity he is under of toiling almost all day gives him no present use of them, but on the other hand robs him of all guarantee of regular and certain earnings by making him dependent on strikes by his comrades or lockouts by his masters. The people under our guidance have annihilated the aristocracy, who were their one and only defense and foster mother, for the sake of their own advantage, which is inseparably bound up with the well-being of the people. Nowadays, with the destruction of the aristocracy, the people have fallen into the grips of merciless money-grinding scoundrels who have laid a pitiless and cruel yoke upon the necks of the workers. We appear on the scene as alleged saviors of the worker from this oppression when we propose to him to enter the ranks of our fighting forces, socialists, anarchists, communists, to whom we always give support in accordance with an alleged brotherly rule of the solidarity of all humanity, of our social masonry. The aristocracy, which enjoyed by law the labor of the workers, was interested in seeing that the workers were well fed, healthy, and strong. We are interested in just the opposite, in the diminution, the killing out of the goyim. Our power is in the chronic shortness of food and physical weakness of the worker, because by all that this implies, he is made the slave of our will, and he will not find in his own authorities either strength or energy to set against our will. Hunger creates the right of capital to rule the worker more surely than it was given to the aristocracy by the legal authority of kings. By want and the envy and hatred which it engenders, we shall move the mobs, and with their hands we shall wipe out all those who hinder us on our way. When the hour strikes for our sovereignty, Lord of all the world, to be crowned, it is these same hands which will sweep away everything that might be a hindrance thereto. The goyim have lost the habit of thinking unless prompted by the suggestions of our specialists. Therefore, they do not see the urgent necessity of what we, when our kingdom comes, shall adopt at once, namely this, that it is essential to teach in national schools one simple, true piece of knowledge, the basis of all knowledge, the knowledge of the structure of human life, of social existence, which requires division of labor, and consequently the division of men into classes and conditions. It is essential for all to know that owing to difference in the objects of human activity, there cannot be any equality, that he who by any act of his compromises a whole class cannot be equally responsible before the law with him who affects no one but only his own honor. The true knowledge of the structure of society, into the secrets of which we do not admit the goyim, would demonstrate to all men that the positions and work must be kept within a certain circle, that they may not become a source of human suffering, arising from an education which does not correspond with the work which individuals are called upon to do. After a thorough study of this knowledge, the peoples will voluntarily submit to authority and accept such a position as is appointed them in the state. In the present state of knowledge and the direction we have given to its development, the people, blindly believing things in print, cherishes, thanks to promptings intended to mislead and to its own ignorance, a blind hatred towards all conditions which it considers above itself, for it has no understanding of the meaning of class and condition. This hatred will be still further magnified by the effects of an economic crisis, which will stop dealings on the exchanges and bring industry to a standstill. We shall create by all the secret subterranean methods open to us, and with the aid of gold, which is all in our hands. A universal economic crisis whereby we shall throw upon the streets whole mobs of workers simultaneously in all the countries of Europe. These mobs will rush delightedly to shed the blood of those whom, in the simplicity of their ignorance, they have envied from their cradles, and whose property they will then be able to loot. Ours they will not touch, because the moment of attack will be known to us, and we shall take measures to protect our own. We have demonstrated that progress will bring all the goyim to the sovereignty of reason. Our despotism will be precisely that, for it will know how by wise severities to pacify all unrest, to cauterize liberalism out of all institutions. When the populace has seen that all sorts of concessions and indulgences are yielded in the name of freedom, it has imagined itself to be sovereign lord and has stormed its way to power. But naturally, like every other blind man, it has come upon a host of stumbling blocks. It has rushed to find a guide. It has never had the sense to return to the former state, and it has laid down its plenipotentiary powers at our feet. Remember the French Revolution, to which it was we who gave the name of great. The secrets of its preparations are well known to us, for it was wholly the work of our hands. Ever since that time we have been leading the peoples from one disenchantment to another, so that in the end they should turn also from us in favor of the king despot of the blood of Zion, whom we are preparing for the world. At the present day we are, as an international force, invincible, because if attacked by some, we are supported by other states. It is the bottomless rascality of the goyim peoples, who crawl on their bellies to force, but are merciless towards weakness, unsparing to faults and indulgent to crimes, unwilling to be bearing the contradictions of a free social system, but patient unto martyrdom under the violence of a bold despotism. It is those qualities which are aiding us to independence. From the premier dictators of the present day, the goyim people suffer patiently and bear such abuses as for the least of them they would have been beheaded by 20 kings. What is the explanation of this phenomenon, this curious inconsequence of the masses of the peoples in their attitude towards what would appear to be events of the same order? It is explained by the fact that these dictators whisper to the peoples through their agents that through these abuses they are inflicting injury on the states with the highest purpose, to secure the welfare of the peoples, the international brotherhood of them all, their solidarity and equality of rights. Naturally, they do not tell the peoples that this unification must be accomplished only under our sovereign rule. And thus the people condemn the upright and acquit the guilty, persuaded ever more and more that it can do whatsoever it wishes. Thanks to this state of things, the people are destroying every kind of stability and creating disorders at every step. The word freedom brings out the communities of men to fight against every kind of force, against every kind of authority, even against God and the laws of nature. For this reason, when we come into our kingdom, shall have to erase this word from the lexicon of life as implying a principle of brute force which turns mobs into bloodthirsty beasts. These beasts, it is true, fall asleep again every time when they have drunk their fill of blood, and at such times can easily be riveted into their chains. But if they be not given blood, they will not sleep and continue the struggle. End of protocol number 3.